Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. December 19th, 1905. Typed. I am not able to sleep past 11 o'clock, for there is a burden upon my soul. The book, Living Temple, should in no case be placed in the hands of those students who shall go to Battle Creek to obtain an education. The matter that it contains is interwoven with specious theories. The Lord did not lead in the production of some of the statements that are made in this book. He has given us His Word, and this Word is to be the man of our counsel. It seemed to me passing strange that men who have been long in the work cannot discern the character of this book. A great deal of Scripture is used, but it is woven in and brought together in such a way that to many minds, error is made to appear as truth. Erroneous theories are so presented that those who receive them will certainly be misled and led on, step by step, by the enemy. If ever there was a time when the writings of everyone connected with our work should be closely criticized, it is now. The Lord has made known to me that His Word is to be studied, and as no such representations as those made in Living Temple are made in the Word, we are to reject them. We are to take the Word as God has given it to us. If Christ had thought it essential for such theories to be presented to human minds, He would have included them in His teachings. As our owner and redeemer, He has put in His Word all the instruction that is necessary for our salvation. Christ was about to leave His disciples. His trial, humiliation, and death were near at hand. But He was not thinking of Himself. He was searching for some solace to give His disciples, who were so soon to be severely tempted and tried. Little children, He said, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 33 to 35. This is the great lesson that all need to learn. Not then did the disciples fully understand Christ's words, as I have loved you. But after His death on the cross, they saw the depth of His wonderful love for them. Let not your heart be troubled, Christ said. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? John 14, verse 1 to 9. Christ has given us all the instruction that it is essential for us to have. The Lord did not inspire Dr. Kellogg to write Living Temple. This book, if received, will occupy time and attention that ought to be given to a close study of the Bible. God did not inspire the writing of this book, nor order it. It is misleading, diverting the mind from the words of Christ to the fallacies of human production. Christ, our divine teacher, and the greatest medical missionary that ever trod this earth, came to our world at great sacrifice to show human beings the correct light in which to regard God. He has given his life as our example in all things. There is no benefit to be derived from books after the order of Living Temple. I have been instructed that those who, in the daily life, do not heed the instructions of the Bible, do not know God or Christ whom he has sent. Those who have not lived the Scriptures will invent sophistries to occupy the mind and absorb the attention and teach things that the one who owns man, body, soul, and spirit, has not said should be taught.
Just before his ascension, Christ gave his disciples a wonderful presentation, as recorded in the 28th chapter of Matthew. This chapter contains instruction that our ministers, our physicians, our youth, and all our church members need to study most earnestly. Those who study this instruction as they should will not dare to advocate theories that have no foundation in the Word of God. My brethren and sisters, make the Scriptures, which contain the Alpha and Omega of knowledge, your study. All through the Old Testament and the New, there are things that are not half understood. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Verses 18 to 20. Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. When physicians are diligent students of the Scriptures, when our ministers live in accordance with the Word of God, making this Word their textbook, then the truth will be proclaimed with power, and souls will be converted. Christ is the author of the Old and the New Testaments, and these should be the study of our students. The simplicity of the Word is to be preserved. Living Temple should not be used as a textbook, for it contains sentiments that should not be brought before the students. The Word of God needs not such interpretation as is given in these representations. God expresses himself. He cannot be defined by any human intelligence. No man could present him as he is. Those who try to do this are on forbidden ground. Christ has revealed God in character. And let all who wish to know God believe in Jesus Christ, and work the works of Christ, and teach the lessons of Christ. If they truly believe in Christ, they will receive power to become the sons and daughters of God. This is their work. Christ calls, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Those who obtain an experimental knowledge of Christ are enabled to demonstrate that the yoke of Christ is easy and his burden light. Ministers and physicians, come to Christ and sit at his feet, that in character you may reveal that you have learned of him to be meek and lowly. Bear in mind that we are living in perilous times, when men will exalt themselves and their own capabilities. The heavenly universe looks upon the works of such ones as foolishness,
for they bear not the sweet fragrance of the Holy Spirit. There is need of constantly guarding the mind and soul, the words and spirit, in order that we may reveal that we are children of God. I warn all who are in God's service to place themselves on the side of Christ. I am instructed to say that there are many dangers on the right hand and on the left, and that our greatest danger will come from men who have lifted up their souls unto vanity and who have not heeded the words of reproof and warning coming from God. When men choose their own way and their own mind, there is always danger, for the tempter, clothed in angel robes, is close beside them, uniting his power and influence with theirs. The enemy of Christ and God will open before them many things of an attractive character, which are deceptive and alluring. These they will present to the people of God, and many will be deceived and will work in wrong lines. Warnings have been given. Will men heed these warnings, and will they work in Christ's lines? Will they learn of Christ his meekness and lowliness? Will they listen to the last message of mercy to be given to a fallen world? The Lord calls. Will men and women heed his call?
The reasoning that God is not a personal being is greatly dishonoring to him. We are to have no controversy over this matter. On the subject of what God is and what he is not, silence is eloquence. Those who dare to advance the sentiments that are contained in Living Temple regarding this matter show that they are departing from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In order that man might be placed on vantage ground with God, Christ, the only begotten Son of God, made in his express image, came to this world and in the likeness of humanity lived a perfect life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. The power that enabled him to overcome, he has placed at our disposal. In his strength, we may be victors in the conquest against evil. He said, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." Revelation 3, verse 21. Without an entire transformation of character, human beings cannot enter the holy city. Amidst the abounding iniquity, we are to receive and believe in Christ as a personal Savior. Only thus can we receive power to become the sons of God. The striving soul, cooperating with Christ, becomes a partaker of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. The power of a godly example will often be effective in the conversion of the most bitter persecutors of God's people. A righteous example, so contrary to the policy of the world, surprises worldlings and leads them to bow at the cross of Christ. Not one soul with sins unconfessed and unrepented of will enter through the gates into the city of God. October 1903. I have slept only a few hours during the past night. Presentations and symbols have been passing before me. One human agent was searching many books containing scientific problems. His mind, which has been unsettled, was catching hold of strange theories. Satan, disguised as an angel of light, was imbuing his mind with sentiments that suited his spiritual condition. These things had gradually been taking more and more of his time and attention. His mind was one that could be worked by the Holy Spirit, but under the seducing influence of the enemy, it was being drawn to advocate strange sentiments and to plan for the medical work many things contrary to the will of God. I saw that Satan triumphed at his success with the poor, duped souls whom he deceived so easily. Then a hand was laid on the man's shoulder, and I heard a voice say, "Your study is not safe. Others will accept your misleading theories, and it will be at the loss of their souls."
other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid by him who is true and righteous. Give up your wrong train of thought and take the word of God just as it reads, as yea and amen. A special message was given, entirely the opposite of that which he had been following. Clear and distinct were the words, "You are on a dangerous track. For years you have been traveling this forbidden path. God's estimate is placed upon a man for what that man is, not for what he professes to be. Your mind has not been a true representation of God. You are on a false track, and unless you stop right where you are, you will be more difficult to convert, because you will take advantage of every excuse to shun repentance and conversion. Truth alone can bear away the victory. Unless you change, you will wander further and further away from repentance, because you will seek to justify yourself and vindicate your course. Unless you are willing to humble your heart before God, you will make but slight changes and will slip back. Love for men brought Christ to our world. Without the new birth, you cannot be counted as one of whom God can say, ye are complete in him. Colossians 2, verse 10. Without an entire transformation of character, you will never see God. Genuine religious life is to you a fable. Oh, that thou hadst known, even thou in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace. Then your light would have sprung forth as the morning. Christ counted no cost too great to redeem the world. He came to this world in human nature, to stand as man's everlasting defense, that we should not be overcome by Satan's devices. Self-sacrifice, humiliation, death was not too high a price to pay for man's redemption, that human beings might inherit the glory prepared for those who love God.
Dr. Kellogg is highly exalted as a man of moral worth, but he takes credit for that which he does not deserve. When the curtain is lifted, those who daubed him with untempered mortar, calling evil good and good evil, will, unless they come out of their delusive snare, find no place in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord has given warning after warning, but the man has seated himself at the supper without having on the wedding garment, and those who have sustained him have been unfaithful and will be judged according to their works, for they refused to heed the warnings God gave them and upheld the man in his delusion. It would have been better for Dr. Kellogg if he had never been born. If he continues to build himself up in his own magical arts of mind in influencing other minds, what chapters of experience will be opened before the universe of heaven? The light will reveal every phase of his companionship with satanic agencies, his miscalculation of himself and his fellow workers who have helped him in his wrong work will be seen as it is. It came to pass that, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude,
he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from the body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I knew, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came, and confessed, and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together, and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and found it 50 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God, and prevailed. Acts 19, verse 1-20. If there was need in that day of the burning of magical books, let men in this, our day, cease to pry into magical science. Books dealing with this subject might better be committed to the flames. Men should be afraid of learning Satan's art of captivating human minds, as they have done again and again. The Lord has been greatly dishonored when His name should have been magnified. Hearts have been hardened when, had men stood in the counsel of God, united on the grand principles which are the foundation of our faith, the truth for this time would have gone forth with power. Cities in which the truth should have been proclaimed have been neglected, given over to superstition and the fallacies of Satan's originating. God calls for a change. We are to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. The secret influence exerted by one mind over another would have been seen in its true light. The more light that a man occupying a position of influence has received, the greater is his responsibility. Years have passed into eternity almost destitute of fruit, which should have borne a rich harvest in souls won to Christ. A few men have stood apart, seeking to exalt themselves, and have greatly retarded the work. The Lord says, Wait no longer to carry forward the work in the cities that have never been warned. I will place my messengers on vantage ground. I will send the truth to those who have not rejected the light.